In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willest, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of the Almighty Allah, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about delay in marriage in the view of Islam.
Woke up with the light, a sky so blue upon my eyes, with a thankful heart. Today is another brand new start. I feel so positive, just wanna do my best and show this world I'm living in all of the love that I can give, give, give.
There are many things that I can do,
many things, yeah,
that can make me feel so close to you.
My heart when I'm
loving, 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 loving you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Today, Sunday, is the 26th of Zilqa'dah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 5th of Tir, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 26th of June, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we bless our moments by listening to chapter room verse 21.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون.
And of his signs is that he created for you from yourselves mates that you may find tranquility in them, and he placed between you affection and mercy. Indeed, in that are signs for a people who give thought.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
When a person turns from the stage of celibacy into the stage of a family and married life, he finds a new personality in him and feels a further responsibility. And this is the meaning of feeling tranquility under the light of marriage. The issue of love and mercy, in fact, are the clay and the adhesive substance of constructional materials of the human society, because a society is formed by each one of individuals of human beings, like a huge and glorious building, which is made of bricks and pieces of stone.
From the wind to the trees, to the buzzing of the bees, Ya Rabbi Al-Alamin, your creation is a dream. From the stars to the moon, your dominion is so vast, yet your beauty isn't seen. Ya Rabbi, please accept my prayer. Ya Rabbi Al-Alamin, Ya Rahmanu Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi Al-Alamin, Ya Rahmanu Ya Rahim. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadu Rasulullah, عليه صلاة الله عليه بركة الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله عليه صلاة الله عليه بركة الله
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله
This part of today's special, we speak about delay in marriage in the view of Islam. The spring of marriage is the duration of youth. During this span of time, man is overwhelmed by a peculiar kind of enthusiasm and cheerfulness. If this period is not made good of and utilized, then very soon the autumn of age approaches and the cheerfulness finishes up or is diminished and declines, and men can no longer completely enjoy and utilize the benefits of marriage. It is the lively, young, and happy love which contributes and grants enthusiasm and purity to life, while the dead, old, and withered love does not possess any enthusiasm and purity to extend to life. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about the defects or the unfavorable consequences of late marriage or getting married quite late in life. However, we find that according to some psychological schools or schools of psychology, let's say, for example, in the school of Freud, Sigmund Freud, the Austrian psychologist, the basic incentive for getting married is quenching our sexual thirst. However, we find that in the Islamic religion, it isn't asserted in this way. Well, in the Islamic religion, nobody denies that when two persons, for example, a man and a woman, get married to one another, first of all, they receive a kind of sexual security. However, much more important than this sexual security is reaching psychological stability and stability of character. At the same time, we find that those people who get married quite late in life, they receive some psychological problems. And when psychological problems emerge and pop up, we find that other consequences show off, like, for example, depression, pessimism, anxiety, cruelty, and being very aggressiveness.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about benefits of marriage, of course, in suitable time. Islam look at this topic. Very interesting. At first, let's notice the adapting the marriage life better. As you get married in such a young age, you are growing up together with your husband or wife, which is a good thing, so that you can adapt well to the marriage life. Living after marriage is not an easy thing, so that it requires compromise from both sides. Another benefit of timely marriage is having more time to raise the children. Starting the marriage in a young age and having children means we have more time to raise our kids. As early as we start, we feel still quite young while our kids has all grown ups. Allah the Almighty says, O mankind, have consciousness of your Lord who has created you from a single soul. From it, He, Allah, created your spouse, and through them He populated the land with many men and women. Have a spiritual awareness of the one by whose name you swear to settle your differences, and have respect for the wombs that bore you. Without doubt, Allah keeps watch over you all. You can find this interesting ayah in chapter An-Nisa, that is chapter 4 of the Holy Quran, verse 1.
Praise Allah for sending me you, my love. You found your home, it's here with me, and I'm here with you. Now let me let you know. You've opened my heart. I was always thinking that love
was wrong, but everything was changed when you came along. Oh.
One question, when must we marry? The proper time and age of marrying is when the physical and mental maturity has reached its desired completion in a person. Reaching completion does not mean the climax and apex of the possible completion, because reaching that stage, particularly in the case of mental puberty, is much distance and difficult, but here it means reaching the ordinary and commonly known limit. Some say Islam has fixed the marriage age for boys at 15 and that of girls at the age of 9. This is not correct. Islam has not given any such order. Islam is the religion of nature and gives an order according to the nature and human instinct. Islam commands one to marry when one reaches puberty and maturity. According to the interpretation of the Prophet, it is like a fruit whose ripening is its maturity and adult age. Yes, Islam's divine legislation in this connection stressed the desirability of marriage, but whenever this need and urge stirs itself and desires revolt and rebel and make men probe and practice prohibited acts, then it becomes obligatory, and postponing and delaying, it becomes prohibited.
When you get married at the age of 30 and you're all settled, you have a career, you've established a profession, for the last 10 or 15 years of your life, you did not struggle with your spouse. You struggled by yourself. Now that you're settled and you have a career, you meet someone and you want to get married. Now the problem is you don't really know this person. You don't have a strong bond with this person. And that is why in our societies, when a problem arises in the marriage, immediately the spouses think of divorce. Okay, divorce is an option. Let's consider divorce if this is not working out. Because you don't have that shared history with each other. You don't have that history of sacrifice. There's nothing to look back at and say, why am I considering divorce? Don't I remember when I was 20, 25, and everything was so tough? I had to manage between work, between school, between running a family, running a house. And I sacrificed, my wife sacrificed, and we made it throughout those difficult years. Why should I consider divorce now? When you marry at a later age, you don't have this wonderful history. Sacrifice is good. Whoever said that sacrifice is bad? It's not something to look down upon. When we sacrifice with each other, we are actually solidifying our bonds. When we sacrifice with one another, that's beautiful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It makes us stronger human beings. It takes away the selfishness from our hearts. This is one primary reason why the religion of Islam encourages us to get married at a young age.
That was all for today's special. We were speaking about marriage. Inshallah, we'll continue this interesting topic. Till then, God bless all of you, and we'll leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
Yes, I was mesmerized, but deep deep inside, I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Salam, friends, and today we present you a thought-provoking saying from Imam Muhammad Taqi, peace upon him, the ninth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Delay of repentance is self-deception. Excessive procrastination is perplexity, and arrogance against Allah is perdition.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a beautiful hadith and narration which has been narrated from our sixth Imam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. This hadith is about a concept which is kind of popular today and sometimes is used, by a lot of politicians to promote their own personal, interests. But nevertheless, doesn't necessarily have to be against religion, as we can see reflected in this beautiful hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam Sadiq says there are five attributes such that whoever does not even possess one of them does not have much to admire. So if somebody, there's five attributes, five qualities. If somebody doesn't have any of them, this person should not be admired. These are loyalty, the first one. Second, organization. So the first one is loyalty, al-wafa. The second is organization, tadbir. The third is modesty, perhaps also translated as shame, al-haya. The fourth is good temper, or he also could be translated as having good manners, husnul khulq. And finally, the Imam says, the last, which bring together all of these, is the attribute of freedom, al-hurriyat. Perhaps the reason why this last attribute is the most important, and it brings together all of these other attributes, is that if somebody doesn't possess the quality of freedom, then the other qualities will not exist. I mean, by here we don't mean freedom like political freedom, or even the idea that a person is not a slave, rather, even though these could also be an instance, an extension of the concept of freedom here, but it probably means something like spiritual freedom, not being attached to and enslaved by one's passions and such, so and so forth. For example, if somebody is attached to money, and another person, gives him some money to keep with him, for a time being, right? And asks him to hand it back over when, at a later date. If the person is not free and he's attached and enslaved by his passion and love for the world, obviously he won't be loyal in his undertaking, and he'll probably, usurp the money or use it unlawfully. Right? Same thing goes with haya or shame. Like, for example, if somebody is, enslaved by his passions, right, he won't be shameful, right? He will be succumb to his passions, and he will not be able to be modest and chaste. Same thing goes with having good manners and the other attributes which have been mentioned in this beautiful hadith. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at freedom and the importance of freedom in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني. Let's recite the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه السلام عليكم and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem with Habibullah Fasizada and also our dear students from Xavier International School and IRIB Radio, English Radio. So we really welcome you all and thank you so much for joining us again. We hope that everyone is fine and healthy and inshallah protected from all evils. So, respected brothers and sisters, again, we are here with you with another lesson of Qur'an Kareem and level 3 of our Qur'anic sessions in Tajweed lessons. Inshallah, today we will start learning a very new and important topic in Tajweed. But before we go and start, let's say hello and how are you to our friends here. And then inshallah we'll go through our lessons. Assalamu alaikum. How are you?
Fine,
inshallah.
Yes.
You're saying Ruhullah, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. I know, but our friends here, okay, are listening to us. So how are you, Hussein Musa?
I'm good, alhamdulillah.
How much good?
Good.
Just good?
Yes.
Okay, it means you didn't have good breakfast. You just had good breakfast, not perfect one.
Yes. Yeah.
How about Fawad Haider?
Fine.
Just fine?
Just fine.
Okay, that's enough, yeah? Just being fine is enough. So, alhamdulillah, everyone is fine here, and we hope that you are fine as well. So, guys, ready, inshallah, to go and start our lesson?
Yes.
That's great. So, we really give thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Xavier International Schools Network that have provided the chance for us, and also First and foremost, we give thanks to Allah Almighty. Okay. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So let's go, inshallah, and start. In the previous session, we were like talking about the heaviness and lightness of the Arabic alphabet letters, yes? And we said that we have two groups, heavy letters, light letters. So light letters are always like we apply the rule of tarqiq, yes?
Tarqiq.
Yes.
Tarqiq means lightness.
Light.
Yes. Lightness. So it means we produce a sound like the word happy that I told you. Happy. When you say the word happy, it produces an air sound.
Yes.
Remember this, okay? So the light letters always produce an air sound. Doesn't matter. They have fatha, kasra, dhamma. They have an air sound, not an ah or heavy sound or full mouth sound. Okay, they are not produced or pronounced with a full mouth. But heavy letters, we had two groups, yeah? So always heavy letters, temporary heavy letters, yes? So always heavy letters were? Seven were there, yes?
Yes.
Kha, Qaf, what was the next one?
Ta,
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 Saad,
Ghain,
Bot, Ghain, yes. These seven letters.
Yes.
So, Sad, Dot, Ta, Da, Ghain, Qaf, Kha. These seven letters were?
Heavy letters.
Always heavy letters. Doesn't matter. They have Fatha, Kasra, Dhamma.
Yes.
Yes, Hussein Musa?
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes, you're okay. Right.
For example, Dalin, Khalidin. Yes? Or yes. For example, Ghafilin. So, Sabirin, Tahirin, for example, or Sira, Sui, again it's heavy. Sui, again it's heavy. Sira, Tal, Tal. So, but
we had another letter, heavy letter, but that's temporary. That was the letter
Ra.
Okay. So we talked a lot about the letter Ra. And we said that there is a general rule. And the general rule was that you have to take a look at the harakat of the letter Ra or the harakat of
the previous letter.
But the harakat itself was not what we were talking about. The sound was important, yes?
Yes.
The A sound or the fatha sound that it has. If the fatha sound exists on the top of the letter Ra, or the Ra has that fatha sound, okay? So of course you produce a heavy sound.
Awesome.
Ra, raziqin. Yes? And if the letter Ra has a sukoon and the previous sound, that there is a fatha, again, you produce
Ra.
A heavy sound. Ra. Yes. Yes. For example, we say, sabr. Look, sa has baizal as well silent, but still we have that fatha sound.
Yes.
So that was very important.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
And also, Dhamma has the same rule, yes?
Yes.
Zamma also produces a heavy sound with the letter Ra. But whenever we have Kasra, either with the letter Ra itself, Ri. Rizq. Yes?
Yes.
Or for example, sabri wal asri. So it doesn't have a heavy sound anymore. So it produces a light sound.
A light sound.
And also, whenever we have a kasra before the letter Ra. It means the letter Ra is sakin, we have a kasra before. For example, what?
Re.
Hijr.
Yes.
Hijr. So if someone says Hijr, or if someone says Basir, the ayah ends, for example, in the word Basir. Basir. Look, Basir. E sound. We have Kasra sound, yes?
Yes.
So it ends with the letter Ra. But because we have that Kasra sound, so the letter Ra doesn't have Kasra. Because you stop here, it changes to Sukun, whatever harakat it has. Fatha, Kasra, Dhamma, whatever. So it changes to sukun, but we still have that kasra sound, right? Hussein Musa, how do you read it?
Basir.
Basir. Nice one. Light sound. So if Fawad Haider recite this way. Basir.
Basir.
That's wrong. That's
yes.
Wrong. Why? Because it doesn't produce a heavy sound. Why? Because we have a kasra sound before.
Yes.
If he recites it, for example, basiru. Ro, that's a heavy sound because it has harakat. So, we had two cases. Either we look at the harakat of the letter Ra itself or at the harakat of or the sound of the previous
letter. Yes.
Previous word, letters. That's it, okay? But, there were some exceptions, okay? Although we have like kasra sound before and also we have like the Ra is sakin. But, for example, the next letter after the letter Ra, it is a heavy letter. So in this case, we were supposed to produce a heavy sound. For example, Labil Mir. Mir, Mir. Which one? Mir, Saad. Which one? Mir, Saad or Mir, Saad?
Mir, Saad. Mir.
MashaAllah, both of you are wrong.
Mir, Saad.
Mir, Mir, heavy sound or Mir? Light sound.
Light
one. Because we have a kasra sound before, yes? So what's the next letter?
Sod.
Is it a light letter or a heavy letter?
Heavy.
So remember, whenever you have a heavy letter after the letter Ra, and you have a light letter or a kasra sound before, So here it's
heavy.
Yeah. There is an exception, okay? Exceptional rule. It says that that heavy letter is prior to that light sound. Sod is prior to that r-e sound, okay? Mir, mi sound. Mir, sod. Wrong. Mir, sod. Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. No.
Yes.
The first one is correct. How? Recite. Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. Fawad. Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. All of you.
Inna rabbaka labil mirsad.
Yes, mirsad. That was the exceptional rule. Just one thing was left here about the letter ra, and that was about hamzatul wasl and also maddilin. Okay? Or yailin. There was, this rule was left. You know, ya'ilin means this. A sakin ya, which has like a fatha before. Fatha before?
Yes.
There we have a letter with fatha, then ya, sakin ya. For example, ba with fatha and then ya with sukun. How do you read it?
Bay.
Jim with fatha and ya, sukun. Jay. Let's read it with alif ba. All the alphabet letters. A. What's the next one?
Bay.
Tay. Thay. Jay. Hay. Khay. Day. They. Right? This. So this is yailin. It's called yailin. Why it's lean? Because you produce a soft. Lean means layin. You remember, yeah? I think. That means that. Soft sound. Soft A sound. Look. For example, we have لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ a soft A sound. Okay? Lean. Yeah, lean. So, if we have a ra after this yailin, and if it is also sakin, because we stop at that word, okay? Stop at that word. Again, that ra is producing a heavy sound. Why? Because I told you, there is a rule. We have a fatha sound. Fatha sound. Khair. Which one? Khair or khair?
First one.
The second one.
Why? Because we still have a fatha sound. Khair.
Yeah, this is right.
Khair. Yes, that's it. Okay? Khair. Okay. Or for example, we have there is like, is that correct? Khair. Is that correct?
Wait, read it again.
Khair. Is that correct?
No.
Why?
Yes.
Why it's not correct? Look, it is. We said a general rule, yes? So I was like telling you this rule, okay? But you were just accepting it. So it's not correct. Okay, so it's wrong. Why? So there is an exceptional rule for this. If we have yailin, okay, so in this case you do not produce a heavy sound. So if I say khair, it was wrong. Okay, you didn't pay attention to this. So always do not pay attention to that fatha sound. Always do not pay attention. Okay, there are sometimes some exceptional rules. That yailin is, yeah, Fawad was right. Yailin is that exceptional.
Yes.
Okay? So the other cases, you have to pay attention to that fatha or that fatha sound. But when it comes to yailin, okay, yailin, or there is a yasakin, doesn't matter, it's yailin or no. Qadir, for example. Qadir. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in.
Qadir.
Qadir. Yeah, we have yaisakin. Doesn't matter, okay? Yailin we have, or for example, any other ya we have. In qadir, because we have that kasra sound, also we can say that's the reason, yes?
Yes.
Yeah? But yes. With yaisakin, it's that the case is that, okay? that with ya is sakin, after ya is sakin, we have a letter ra, okay? So in this case, you, if the ra is sakin as well, so you produce a light sound. Stay with us, okay? Inshallah, we'll be back. Thank you so much. Let's recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajah.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Ya man bada'a khalqi wa dhikri wa tarbiyati wa birri wa taghdiyati habni libtida'i karamak wa salifi birrika bi ya ilahi wa sayyidi wa rabbi أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك وبعد من طوى علي قلبي من معرفتك ولهج به لساني من ذكرك واعتقده ضميري من حبك وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي
Dear listeners, we were discussing this excerpt of the Divine Kumail Supplication. Ya ilahi wa sayyidi wa rabbi, aturaka mu'adhibi binarika ba'da tawhidik. My Allah, my Master, my Lord, can you be seen tormenting me with your own fire after I have professed to your oneness? Wa ba'da man tawa alayhi qalbi min ma'rifatik. After your recognition my heart has embraced. Wa lahija bihi lisani min dhikrik. After the remembrance of you, my tongue has constantly mentioned. We discussed a couple of programs over the concept of monotheism and the importance of oneness. And in the previous episode, we started discussing the concept of true cognition and ma'rifah of the Almighty Allah. We said that this knowledge of Allah is one of the most significant requisites for the acceptance of the prayers of the servants. And it has been reflected in our traditions that sometimes it is because of our lack of knowledge of the Almighty Allah that we are not answered when we supplicate. Now, part of true recognition and ma'rifah is that a supplicant should know that Allah is near to him, nearer than any other thing. And he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is aware of what his soul tempts him to, and that he is nearer to him than his jugular vein. And that he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who intervenes between him and his self. That is why he, the exalted, says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ. When my servants ask you about me, tell them that I am indeed nearmost. Or elsewhere in the Holy Quran we read, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are nearer to him than his jugular vein.
Oh my God, my Master, my Lord, and my Nourisher, will you see me punished with the fire kindled by you, despite my belief in your unity, and despite the fact that my heart has been filled with knowledge of you, and when my tongue has repeatedly praised you, and my conscience has acknowledged your love, and despite my sincere confessions and my humble begging submissively made to your divinity. No, indeed you are far too kind and generous to destroy one you nourished and supported, or to drive away from yourself one you have kept under your protection.
Thank you, Allah,
God, that we're here,
feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So, this is a part of recognition. The servant needs to know that Allah is everywhere, and he is nearer to him than anything and anyone. The Holy Quran says, know that Allah intervenes between a man and his heart. In this regard, let us have a look at the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam in one supplication. He alayhi salam says, I seek your proximity through your embracing mercy, which has embraced all things. My Lord, indeed you see my position, and you are aware of what is in my conscience. You know my innermost secret, and nothing of my affairs is hidden from you. You are closer to me than my jugular vein. Also, Imam Ali alayhi salam, in his supplication for the day of Friday, says, there is no God but Allah who answers the one who invokes him, even with the lowest of his voice, who hears the one who whispers to him from the innermost of his heart, who is most kind toward him, who entertains his hope in him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remove his distress, who is near to him who calls on him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to relieve him of his hardships and grief. In one of his sermons, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, he has taken precedence in highness such that nothing is higher than him. He is so near that nothing is nearer than him. Neither has his highness distanced him from any of his creatures, nor has his nearness put them on the same level with him. And this could be what this part of the Kumail supplication is trying to tell us. If you want your prayers to be accepted, if you want your sins to be forgiven, if you want the Almighty Allah to forgive you in hereafter, you need to recognize him first completely. You need to have true recognition of him. وَبَعْدَ مَنْ طَوَى عَلَيْهِ قَلْبِي مِنْ مَعْرِفَتِكَ. My heart has embraced your cognition. This cognition must be so deep that the heart of the servant is feeling the nearness and the presence of the Almighty Allah everywhere, in every aspect of the life. And it is only then that the Almighty Allah says, whenever you call me and ask from me, I am there to listen to you. This is the importance of heart in the path of the wayfarer. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is also narrated to have said, when you pray to Allah, turn to Him with your heart and think as if your need were at the door. Dear listeners, we will continue our discussion about this part, an excerpt of the Kumail supplication later on, specifically about another aspect of true recognition of the Almighty Allah, which is entertaining a good opinion of Him, or Husnu Dhanni Billah. Thank you for staying with us in this episode of the program, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close, close to you through all my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners all over the world, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to yet another edition from series of Canon and Islamic Beliefs from IRIB English Radio. In this series of shows, we are trying to answer doubts and misconceptions on different issues in Islam. And for that, we are trying to invite different scholars from Qom Seminary Schools to help us answer the questions that we pose in this series of shows. Like recent shows, we have invited Sheikh Murtala Karimi, a researcher from Qom Seminary Schools, to answer the question that we shall pose today. Before starting our discussion, I'd like to welcome Sheikh Murtada to the show. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah and thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure for us to have you here, Sheikh. Dear brothers and sisters, we have been talking about the importance of the event of Hajj and this great event that is one of the most important acts of worship